Hi, everybody. My name is Rosie Glenn Feiner. I'm at the California Department of Public Health. And today I'm going to be talking about our analysis of the California Perinatal Hepatitis B program and its completeness and risk factors for underreporting. So first, a little bit of background. The Perinatal Hepatitis B Prevention Program, or the PHBPP, as I may refer to it, is a CDC program that was founded in 1990 with the goal of eliminating mother-to-child transmission of hepatitis B. This program oversees various recommendations pertaining to this goal, and this includes testing all pregnant women for hepatitis B and making sure infants born to hepatitis B positive pregnant women are receiving proper post-exposure prophylaxis, vaccination, and then post-vaccination serologic testing to confirm hepatitis B immunity. Within this program, California has the largest birth cohort. We case manage about 2,500 to 3,000 women and infants per year, and this accounts for about 20% of the cases that are reported to CDC each year. Specifically, in California, we require that pregnant women are screened for hepatitis B surface antigen, and hepatitis B surface antigen is also part of our standard prenatal panels. So we hypothesize, actually, that hepatitis B screening in California is fairly high among pregnant women. Additionally, in the California Code of Regulations, Title 17, we require that all hepatitis B positive test results are reportable to the local health department, either by laboratories or by providers. So for the perinatal hepatitis B program, the individual case management of mothers and infants is carried out by the local health department, of which there are 61 in California. Data is then collected by these local programs and submitted to the state, either via paper reports or electronic data transmission. So as part of the program surveillance, CDC estimates the number of infants that they think should be reported by each state, which are seen in blue. You can compare that to the orange bar, which is the number of infants that California has actually enrolled over the last 5 years. So as you can see, there's potentially a pretty large gap between those two numbers. And prior to this analysis, no one had looked at our data in particular to see if we truly were missing a large portion of infants and pregnant women. So our study questions were twofold. One is, what proportion of hepatitis B positive pregnant women were enrolled in California's program from 2013 to 2014? And then secondly, what were those factors which best predicted non-enrollment in our program? The methods we used to do this were a capture-recapture analysis, and this is something that's traditionally used in wildlife ecology to estimate the size of a population. But rather than physically capturing and tagging animals, for example, in epidemiology, we are comparing two incomplete data sources to estimate a total population size. And other perinatal hepatitis B programs in other jurisdictions have done this as well and have been able to evaluate their programs and actually increase program enrollment and sustain that over time, which was a goal for our program as well. To do this, we used three different data sources. First, we used the California Chronic Hepatitis B Registry. We used California birth certificate data from Vital Statistics and then data from our own perinatal hepatitis B program. We use a probabilistic matching algorithm to compare women across these different data sources, and we scored matches based on the mother and infant's first names, last names, and dates of birth, and also the zip code of residence when the child was born. All right, so this is a Venn diagram to explain that last slide a little more clearly. So we started with women that we identified from the birth certificate data. So these are women who had a child in California in 2013 and 2014. And we compared that to those women in the chronic hepatitis B registry, with this overlapping region here representing our program eligible population. So women with both a history of hepatitis B and who delivered an infant in California. We then compared that to the women that we had actually enrolled in our program and found that we identified 1,319 women who were program eligible but had not been enrolled in our program, and then 4,034 women that were both eligible and enrolled in the program. To look at risk factors, we created a binary outcome variable for enrolled or not enrolled in the program, and then we selected predictors from the birth certificate data that we thought might be associated with non-enrollment, and these include variables related to the mother's demographic characteristics and also characteristics of her pregnancy and prenatal care. For our statistical analysis, we used a Lincoln-Peterson estimate to estimate the size of our program-eligible population, And this formula really takes into account the size of each population of interest, or in this case, our two data sources, as well as the amount of overlap between those two data sources. We then use bivariate analyses to determine inclusion in our final model, and use a modified Poisson regression model with robust standard errors to estimate the relative risk of non-enrollment. We also stratified by race, specifically whether the mother was Asian or not Asian, to get at some of the differing risks of non-enrollment. So these are our results for our Lincoln-Peterson estimate. So this table shows the amount of women in each of our data sources. And given our total size, as well as the amount of overlap between the two data sources, we estimate that from 2013 to 2014, we had a program-eligible population of 7,593 women. When we compare that to the 5,722 women that we had actually enrolled, we estimate that our enrollment is about 75.4%. So these are the results from our risk factor analysis. So as you can see, among both Asian and non-Asian women, being U.S.-born compared to being foreign-born was significantly associated with not being enrolled. Among Asian women living in a more rural, less dense California county, having private or third-party health insurance, and giving birth at a low-volume birth hospital were all significantly associated, whereas among non-Asian women, having older maternal age was significantly associated with non-enrollment. So what does this mean? We found that we had a program enrollment of about 75%, which is higher than CDC's estimate for California, which is at about 50%, though it still means that we're missing a large portion of our program eligible population. We also found that certain healthcare variables, such as late initiation of prenatal care or having pregnancy, labor, or delivery complications, were not associated with non-enrollment. And this is really consistent with our hypothesis that women in California are seeking prenatal care and they are being properly screened, but they're just not being reported to our program. Additionally, the different levels of risk suggest that there are varying levels of awareness within California, particularly among the low dense, more rural counties. That suggests that there's an opportunity for provider education if they are seeing women with hepatitis B. However, our study has some limitations. First, it's possible that our two data sources or our three data sources are not independent, which is an underlying assumption of a capture-recapture analysis. As I'm sure many of you know, you often collaborate with colleagues in other programs or sharing data. However, we think in this case, there's not actually a great overlap and it wouldn't have a large impact on our results. Additionally, we found that some women were missing some of the predictors of interest from the birth certificate data. However, it was only 8% of our study sample, and there was no significant association between those that were missing data and those that were not enrolled in the program. We also had a large sample size, and by using a probabilistic matching algorithm, it's possible that we had some incorrectly classified matches. However, we took into account things like nicknames, common typos, data entry errors in order to try to address that from the beginning. And then lastly, during this study period from 2013 to 2014, electronic laboratory reporting was still being rolled out in California. So it's possible that we were missing women solely because a lab was still figuring out the intricacies of ELR. So our next steps is that this is an analysis that we want to perform on a regular basis with each incoming birth cohort and look at our program and try to increase enrollment over time. We also want to work with our colleagues at local health departments to determine the source of non-enrollment for those women missing from our program. We want to make sure that they truly were screened, and if they weren't reported, what was that barrier to reporting? We also want to follow up on the infants who are missing from our program, make sure they got the proper PEP vaccination and testing that they need. And then lastly, just continue to work with our colleagues at local health departments and also California providers to make sure that they have the proper education and they're aware of these risk factors and that these women and infants are continuing to get the care that they need. Lastly, I just want to thank my colleagues at the California Department of Public Health, both in the immunization branch and the STD control branch, and also colleagues at the UC Berkeley School of Public Health. Thank you.